Take your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Take a second, find that passage there in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to take a look tonight at most of this chapter for a very specific purpose and reason. But I'm going to read two verses for our text before I'm going to have Brother Allen come and pray for the preaching, and then we'll enjoy the special tonight. So Daniel chapter 10, so we're picking up midway, almost to the end of the chapter in verse 18. Verse 18. And the Bible says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Let's pray together. Brother Allen, you come lead us, and then we'll enjoy the special.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that we would listen intently to your word tonight as it's preached. I pray you'd open our hearts. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Please convict us. Please change us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the great love that you have towards us, love, a deeper love than anyone else has. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's been whispered at the bedside when a loved one said goodbye, sung by kids in Sunday school as wonder filled their eyes.
It's been trampled on by scorners, cherished by the saints,
but only through its power can hopeless souls be proclaiming he is worthy of praise.
beautiful song. Great truth. Thank you very, very much. We're in Daniel chapter 10, and we got trouble with now that it's on, Brother Tom. Very good. I couldn't figure out what had happened, but that's what happened. So, very good. Daniel chapter 10, I read for you verses 18 and 19. I'm going to take the title of the message out of verse number 19. And here's the title: Be strong, yea, be strong. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please help our church tonight. God, reach down from your throne with the power that only you can give for the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll open our eyes, help us to behold wondrous things out of your law. May our hearts be prepared to receive it. Lord, help us to come with open face to your word tonight. I pray that through its preaching and our open face, the Spirit of God will have the opportunity to put roots downward and bear fruit upward. And I pray tonight, God, that our people will learn the truths out of this chapter that I think are so pertinent for this moment. Help us to be strong, yea, be strong. In Jesus' name, amen. We all had high hopes that when the calendar turned from 2020 to 2021, things would be less hectic and crazy. I think somebody said it rightly this morning. We just turned to January. This is the 13th month of 2021. Maybe it was an omen that we got all that ice on January 1st, New Year's Day. I don't know if you got ice at your house. We got ice at my house. Looks like a war zone out there. Tree limbs broken and everything laying around. And then this week happened. Wednesday happened. And here we are tonight with more stuff going on in our nation than we can shake a stick at right now. And God knows my heart. I do not want to be single-issued in these days of turmoil. I told you that I am striving for a balance with the messages that I am preaching, encouraging you, and yet in some sense trying to prepare you as well for whatever is coming down the road. And I think this morning I preached almost an entire message without even mentioning anything happening in our country this morning. It was just out of 1 Thessalonians 3. I want to say just a word or two about Wednesday and be done with it. You absolutely cannot believe the mainstream media. Period. You cannot be influenced by them. You just can't. I talked to reputable people, as some of you did. Some of the men that were in the bus meeting yesterday had friends. I talked to reputable people who were on the ground, who attended the rally, the president's speech, heard him speak. As I was told, it was shoulder to shoulder, rump to rump. You couldn't move without people around you moving. It was peaceful. It was peaceful. Yes, there were people shouting and so forth and so on, but the crowd at the speech consisted of working, tax-paying citizens, soccer moms, men who owned their own businesses, attorneys, moms and dads with 8, 9, 10 children. That's who was there. I know that much from people who were on the grounds and were eyewitnesses. Now, beyond that, like you, I have received a lot of information. I'm not going to share it from the pulpit. I said this morning, I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to trust on this side. I don't know who to trust on this side. Okay? But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of moving parts right now. I think it's interesting. One thing I think that needs to be noticed, I think it's being said a little bit, it's very appalling that the Capitol building of our government was breached so easily. Very appalling. Well, see, there I go. I mean, there's stuff you've heard. And there's video that's hard to dispute. It is noticeable that they are moving at breakneck speed to impeach our president. Breakneck speed. They want him out, And they want him out now because they're afraid of the next 10 days. They know, if anything, he's a man. And he's got courage. And he's got fight. And I would not put anything past him. Nothing. They're afraid of him. They're afraid of the next 10 days. And so are some of God's people. Some of God's people are not afraid just for the next 10 days, but for the next several years. I think that many of us thought that the conservatives would hold the Senate, but that did not happen. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of the progressive, socialist, communist agenda will get passed through Congress, implemented, and how our lives will change accordingly. I will say this. There have been times previously when we thought all hope for a free America was gone. At times during the Clinton years, when everybody even close to possibly spilling the beans on the Clinton family ended up dying. At times during the Obama years, especially when he was leading the charge for anarchy by being critical of the police, he started it. He started it concerning that professor that was arrested in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And his answer was to have a beer. Let's sit down and have a beer. That was his solution. He was being critical of the police. He was apologizing for America around the world. He was bowing to the Saudi king. He was giving away pallets of cash to Iran, lighting the White House in rainbow colors, and worst of all, snubbing and hating the chosen people of God, the Jews. That man literally despises Israel and the Jewish people. Despises them. And he treated Netanyahu like a redheaded stepchild. That's what he did. Yet somehow, by God's grace, we survived all that. We elected a president who did a lot to right the ship when it comes to being an American and having American interests first over these last 4 years. He's not a perfect president. I don't appreciate his language. Somebody said he's saved. If he is, he needs to come to the discipleship course and get some, grow in grace a little bit. All right, there is something different about what's happening today. There's no two ways to say it. Things have happened that cause all of us to pause and consider and ask the question, what is going on? What is going on? Well, that's exactly what Daniel was asking in this chapter, chapter 10. I want you to look at it with me for a few minutes tonight. I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. So, in the third year of Cyrus's reign, a truth was revealed to Daniel that covered a long period of time, and this chapter details what took place as the truth was revealed to Daniel. The story starts actually in verse number 2. Look at it. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel was in a state of mourning. If you are a true American patriot, your heart has been in mourning over what has taken place in our country. This morning, his concerns were so great that he wasn't eating or drinking. He wasn't even cleaning himself as he normally would have been. He loved Israel, and more so, Israel's God. He knelt 3 times a day in his chamber with his window open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. So what did he pray? He probably prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. As a young boy, a young Jewish boy, Daniel would have studied the Psalms, and he would have learned what David wrote in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. And that still hasn't changed today. That's still good to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You and I should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we should love the nation of Israel. And we should love our country, the United States of America. And we should pray for its peaceful existence. And the truth of the matter is, it moves many of us in our guts to see freedom of speech and freedom of travel and freedom of business and freedom of worship and the right to defend ourselves. Look, folks, being more than threatened, being taken away to some degree already. Now look, whether you're Democrat or Republican, rank liberal or rank conservative, it ought to bother you that somebody out in California can censor a citizen of the United States of America and take away the right to free speech. That's the First Amendment. It ought to bother you that nightclubs and strip joints are still open and churches are closed. It ought to bother you. It ought to put your heart in a state of mourning. The parallels, and I said earlier, between what happened in Nazi Germany and what is happening here, it's alarming. It's alarming. It affects us in our guts the same way Daniel was affected. He was mourning for the state of his... And look, here is another reason why Daniel... the reason why Daniel was upset. Daniel had come to an end. He had come to an understanding. Let me get that right. He had come to an understanding about the 70-year captivity, and he had seen it come to an end. This is the third year of Cyrus. If you were a part of Wednesday night's Bible studies, in the first year of Cyrus, what happened? He made the decree to the children of Israel in Babylon, go back to Israel, rebuild your city, rebuild your country, rebuild your nation. Daniel saw that happen. And what an exciting time that was for them. And it seemed that Israel was on its way back as a nation, on its way back to better times. Daniel probably thought things would really pick up for his homeland. But you know what happened? Only a minority of the Jews returned. Only a minority of them. And things didn't go real good at the beginning. When they got back, they struggled to get the temple rebuilt. They struggled to get back on track as a nation. People have speculated, why didn't Daniel go back? We're not told why Daniel didn't go back. We have no idea why Daniel didn't go back. At 90 years of age, maybe he was too weak. Maybe he was too feeble to make the journey. We don't know. But I know this about Daniel. In chapter 10, he is confused. He is disheartened. He is disappointed. He's all of the above. All of this is going through his mind and his heart as he ponders what's next for his nation. Kind of like many of us who enjoyed seeing America the last 4 years become more like the nation of the past, the nation that we knew. And we really believed that the right man would be in office and maybe things would even get better over the next four. We never dreamed that President Trump could lose the election and this pitiful man would become president. Millions of Americans still don't believe he lost it. I'm one of them. I don't say that. I say that unashamedly. I can't influence your opinion. You think what you want. But I think it was stolen, not lost. Now, we certainly did not think there would be a weak Supreme Court. After all the appointees, new justices that had been appointed, everything that we went through as a nation to see those three justices appointed to the Supreme Court, to have all three of them not back the president was really kind of appalling. It really was. Maybe I don't know everything about it. I'm sure I don't. But that was concerning. We are confused. We are disheartened. We're disappointed. We're all of the above, like Daniel. So that's the setting here. Now look at I'm not going to read all of verses 4 through 9, okay? I'm not going to read every verse here, but this is what happens here without reading the verses. In verses 4 through 9, I believe Daniel had a vision of Christ that left him in a fainted state. You say, well, Pastor, this is the Old Testament. You don't think Christ existed in the Old Testament? Christ is preexistent with God the Father, God the Spirit. There are many occasions in the Old, if you want to call it the Old Testament, where Jesus made an appearance to people. And the reason I say that is because if you read the description of the person that Daniel saw in this vision, in Daniel chapter 10, and you compare it with the description of Christ that John saw in Revelation chapter 1, those descriptions are almost identical. Identical. And so I believe Daniel had a vision of Christ. And what a good thing, folks, in the midst of confusion and disappointment and disillusionment, God's people can still have a vision of the living Jesus. Okay? And at the end of this vision, Daniel was left in a deep sleep. Let me see if I can find that for you. That's in verse number 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. So he is in a deep, deep sleep. Then in verses 10 through 21, an angel visits him. An angel comes to where Daniel is. He's fainted, if you will. He's in this deep sleep, his face on the earth. And an angel comes and touches him and gives him a message from God's throne. There were three things he said I want to point out to you tonight. Say a couple of things at the end, we'll be done. First of all, the angel told him, Daniel, you are greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. Look at verse number 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now, church, do you understand that no matter what is going on all over this country or around the world, there is nothing that can touch the love of God for his people? I mean, he called him beloved. In the midst of all the disappointment, in the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of all the disheartening things happening around Daniel, this angel reminded Daniel, nothing can change the love of God for you. Nothing, nothing can put a dent in the deep, deep love of God for his children. And I preached about that this morning. I preached about the agape love of God, the love feast. And church, listen, in all the disappointment and in all the confusion, every one of us who is a child of God is greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. There is nothing that can alter, change, cancel. The cancel culture can do a lot of damage, and it has here in our country. But the cancel culture cannot touch the love that God has for his children. There's nothing that can change it. Romans 8, you know the verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay. No. Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're beloved of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, realize how much God loves you. And the fact that that love will never be tainted. It will never be lessened. It will never be changed. Beloved. Beloved is a term used about God's people. We are the beloved of God. And there is no better news than that. No liberal, no socialist, no communist, no government can pass any law that changes the love of God for his people. They may take away our freedom nationally, but they cannot touch the deep love God has for his own. You are beloved in Christ. And I'm going to tell you what you need to be reminding yourself of that. You ought to get in Romans chapter 8 If you're given to despair and anxiety more than other people, you need to get in Romans chapter 8 and you need to read those verses every day. Read them every morning. Read them slowly. Read them out loud. Ask God to burn the truth of them in your heart. You are beloved of God. There's no question about it. And the greatest display of the love of God took place on that mountain called Calvary where Jesus died for our sins. You've heard me tell the story before about the man, and I cannot recall his name. I thought, tried to get it this afternoon. But he lived in a small town. In that town, there was a family. Actually, it was a boy and a girl who lived with the grandmother and grandparents. And a fire broke out in the grandparents' home. And the sister and the grandparents got out, but they realized the grandson was up in the second floor. And they were hollering, and you know, the flames are getting the house and consuming it. And there was an iron pole that ran up the side of the house. And a man quickly thought what he could do. And he went and he grabbed hold of that iron pole. And he crawled up that iron pole to a second story window, went through it, got the boy, rescued him. In so doing, his hands were scarred from the burns of that hot iron pole. He carried those scars with him the rest of his life. Several years passed. And I forget what happened to the sister, but Grandpa and Grandma died, and the little grandson was left all by himself there in this community with no living relatives, nobody to take him in. And they had a community meeting one night and gathered all the families in the community together, and they let three or four different families present their reasons as to why the boy should be given to them. And so the first family presented their reasons, and the second, and the third. And then finally they said, does anybody else have anything to say? And the man stepped forward who had rescued the boy from the fire and made his plea for adopting the little guy. And the councilman and the leaders of the community meeting said, sir, what proof do we have of your love for this boy? And all he did was hold up his hands. And there in his hands were the scars, the wounds from when he had climbed that hot pole and burnt his hands. And they gave that little boy to that man. And I'll tell you something. If you ever have any doubt in your heart whatsoever that the love of God has changed for you, all you need to do is take a look at the hands of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Those hands still bear the wounds of those nails when he died for you. Daniel, the first thing I want to tell you, from God's throne, you are beloved of God. Beloved of God. Now, there's a second thing he said. Not only did he say, Daniel, you're beloved of God, but he said, Daniel, you are not to fear. You're not to fear. Now, look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. After telling him he was greatly beloved, the angel told Daniel not to fear. And people, that makes all the sense in the world when we understand and embrace the truth that we are beloved of God. That should help us conquer any fear we have of what man may do to us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear because, listen to this, fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I think that's very interesting. Fear hath torment. Now people, we need to believe the truth about how perfect and complete God's love is for us. And if we'll grab it and embrace it and by faith receive it, it will drive out any fear in us. Fear torments. There are Christian people, there are young couples with small children tormented right now, fearing what's going to happen. What's going to happen to my little ones? Fear hath torment. God does not want us to live in torment. Rather, He wants us to live in the peace and the calmness of His perfect and complete love. And you know what you got to do? You got to turn off that box. You got to turn off that radio. You got to turn off that whatever it is. And you got to get in Romans chapter 8 and get your mind filled with the truth that I am beloved of God and those little ones are beloved of God as well. And let that love drive out fear. Fear hath torment. You'll live in the torments of anxiety. Young mothers, you will live in the torments of anxiety and alarm if you keep your mind on the things of this world. It'll torment you. You can't do that. You have to place your thoughts on the love of God for you and yours. Well, I love my children. You think God doesn't? He loves them more than you do. He loves my children more than my wife or I could ever love them. He loves them with a perfect love. With a complete love. You have to place your thoughts on the love of God. And parents will especially will live in torments concerning their children if all you do is listen and think on the things that are being said on this plane and not focus your thoughts on the truth that God loves them more than you do, with a full and perfect and complete love. And listen, parents, in this love, nothing can touch us that God does not allow to touch us. You believe that? You must bless God's Word. What He allows to touch us is in some way good for us. Well, I can't see it. Believe to see it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And what God allows to touch us may sting for the moment. But you know what Paul said about things that sting us for the moment? He said those things work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, I want my kids to have this, and I want my kids to have... Let me tell you what you need to be concerned about your kids having. A very happy and blessed eternity. Because they're going to be there far longer than they are here. Far longer. You cannot live in fear. Remember that this world is temporary. It's but for a moment, and compared to eternity, it is a drop of water in the massive ocean of time. Parents, do not live in the torment of fear. Set your mind on truth. Place your thoughts on God, His great love, and let the reality of that love cast out the fear that so badly torments people. I don't want the young couples of our church to live in torment. I don't want you to live in torment. Yeah, but what's... I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. But one does. And the one who does greatly beloves you and those children. Embrace that love. Live with that love. Let that love cast out fear, because fear has... Hey, Daniel! I've come right from the throne room. And I'm here to tell you, you're greatly beloved. Don't fear. Thirdly, Daniel was to understand the spiritual warfare. Now verses 12 and 13 are very important in this passage. I'm not going into great detail about this because you should understand this by now. It doesn't hurt us to be reminded of this truth. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against, talk to me, flesh and blood. Who is that talking about? People. But against what? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, understand, there's no doubt that Biden and Harris and Pelosi and Schumer and Pritzker and Zuckerberg and Bezos and whoever the goofball is at Twitter, he's a twit. That's what he is. There's no second guessing. They are our enemies. Well, you shouldn't talk about having enemies. Well, David did. He talked about them all the time. They are our enemies. They hate what we love and love what we hate. And they want to take what we love from us. They're our enemies. But the real war involves more than what is going on with those people. The real war is being waged in the atmospheric heavens between truth and error. That's where the real war is. And you see it here in this passage. Look, listen. The day Daniel's prayer was made, it was heard in heaven. Look at verse 12. Then, this angel talking, said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Church, when was Daniel's prayer heard? First day. By the way, that's encouraging. Pray. I don't see it doing any good. I'm not sure I'm getting through. Pray. The first day Daniel's prayer was made, it was heard. So he prayed. But now, wait a minute. The angel did not, and by the way, the angel was sent with the answer to the prayer. Look at the end of verse number 12. And I am come for thy words. So the first day your prayer was made, God heard it. And the first day your prayer was made, God sent me with the answer. But wait a minute. The angel did not get to Daniel with the answer for 21 days, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. He was detained in warfare. Spiritual warfare with another angel, an evil angel, and they warred with each other until Michael, the warrior angel, came to his aid. The answer to his prayer, listen, I'm not talking about a slouch of a Christian here. We're talking about Daniel. The answer to Daniel's prayer was held up 21 days in spiritual warfare. But that wouldn't happen to us. Because, you know, that's Old Testament. Are you that goofy? Seriously? Folks, we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. This happened. And if an answered prayer on its way to Daniel could be held up for that long, how long can spiritual victories, how long can answers to prayer be held up by spiritual warfare in my life and your life? We must understand there is a world we cannot see with our natural eyes where the truth versus error engages in serious battle. That's what the angel came to make him aware of. Daniel, there's more to this. What's the cliche? There's more to this than meets the eye. Church, what's happening in our country right now, there's more to this than meets my eye and your eye. It's a spiritual warfare. It's going on right now. And that's what he came to Daniel and said. Greatly beloved, you're greatly loved of God. Relax. Fear not. Fear torments. You don't need to live in torment. You need to understand that there is more here than meets the eye. This is what's happening. Now, this is what the angel told him in verses 15 through 17. Okay? Is Daniel's response to seeing this and speaking with this angel. And I want you to see that he was left strengthless. He was left breathless. Look at verse 16. I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So here's Daniel, greatly beloved. He's told not to fear. He's told there's more than meets the eye here, Daniel, spiritual warfare. And people, it left him without strength. He knows God loves him. He understands he should not live in fear. He understands that the battle is not against flesh and blood. And in spite of what he knows, he's left without strength. If I were to... There are God's people living strengthless right now. Without breath, it's knocked the... You ever had the wind knocked out of you? We'll say, well, they don't know everything. They know God loves them. They know they're told not to fear. They know there's spiritual warfare going on. And it still knocks the wind out of you. It did Daniel. And then you get to verses 18 and 19. Look at what he says. Verse 19. O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Wait a minute. Didn't we just go through this? Excuse me? You're greatly beloved. Don't fear. Wait a minute. That's what you told me earlier. That's the same message that I got from the other end. It's the same thing. People, what the angel told him about being greatly beloved, that he shouldn't fear, that there's spiritual warfare, is truth. And you know what? You cannot add more truth to truth. Truth is truth. So when Daniel knows it all, and he's still left strengthless, he's still left hopeless, the angel comes again and says, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. Fear not. That's a repeat. I know, just like some of God's people today come to church to hear a message to help them through these trying times. They come, they hear, they listen, and they leave thinking. I hear the same things all the time. Pastor Angel, God loves me. Fear not. Read my Bible. Pray. Trust the God of heaven. It's the same thing over and over again. And I'm still at my wit's end. I still don't know what to do. And so said Daniel. And so in verse number 19, he adds the words, Daniel, be strong, yea, be strong. I told you, you're beloved of God. You don't need to fear. You can live in peace. But you need to cinch up and be strong. Be strong. Yea, be strong. For those of you who think you hear the same things over and over again, and yet you're still left without strength, you know what you need? Cinch up and be strong. Be strong. If I perceive anything about the days, weeks, maybe months ahead, this is a time when men, women, teenagers, have got to be strong. You've got to be strong spiritually. You've got to be strong mentally. You cannot let your mind run to extreme conclusions. Fear will grip your heart. Fear torments. This is a day for God's people to be strong. Yea, be strong. I need more than that. I'm sorry. That's all Daniel got. Be strong, Dan. I'm taking a little liberty with the name there, okay? Be strong, Daniel. Be strong. I'm sorry, brother. There's no more truth to tell you. You're greatly beloved of God. You shouldn't fear. There's a spiritual war going on more than meets the eye here. So guess what? Cinch up your belt buckle and get up on your feet and stand up and be strong. Yes, be strong. Be strong. There might be tough days ahead, folks. Be strong. Be strong. Well, I need to. No, be strong. Well, I don't know how to do it. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Get your nose in the book. Get your prayer list active. Think about the love of God. I don't know what to do. Be strong. Not some kind of military strength, although I'm for having the necessary items to defend yourself if necessary. I am for that. But what I'm talking about here is God's people. I'm talking about you mothers. Moms, be strong. I don't know. I understand that, you know, if the woman is a weaker vessel, and she is, the Bible says she is, she's not always weaker in her Christianity, sometimes weaker in the emotional sense than men are. But ladies, this is not the day to be weak. This is the day to be strong. And moms of children, especially them little ones, be strong. Be strong. You get music playing around your house. You get the windows, the shades up. You get the lights on like something is happening, like God's on the throne because He is. And you be strong for your children. Be strong for your children, dads. Be strong, teenagers. Be strong. Look. Oh, when was it? I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. I got 6 married kids, okay? So I got a call from one of the 5 men who have children. That's all I'll say. And, how you doing? Hey, listen. What happened? What's going to happen? And I talked for a while. And when I hung up, I told my wife, that man's full of anxiety for his kids. His guts are in turmoil for his children. Who was alive to see the last time that the Capitol building was breached? Anybody in here? Don't think so. And all the junk that went with it, went on. Don't tell me that dads and moms of small children are not at home with turmoil in their gut. What's the message, preacher? Be strong. Yeah, well, I got me a gun. I'm glad you do. Get 4 or 5 of them. But you could probably only shoot 2 at a time. Maybe 3 if you're good with your feet, okay? But there's something far more better than a gun to be strong in right now. And your children, of all times, when your children need a strong dad and a strong mom, it's right now. Set your belt buckle up and get strong. Strong in the Lord. Some of you have seen this. This was written by a man who was rocking his sleeping baby Wednesday night. He wrote these words. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they are in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. And he knows that your child can handle whatever challenges they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels. Raise Davids. Raise Esthers. Raise Peters. God isn't scratching His head wondering what He's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army He's raising up to drive back the darkest and make Him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God has placed on them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies, and we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them, but they were born for such a time as this. I believe that with all my heart. Before I got this, on Thursday afternoon, after the tournament, the day of games, Hannah and the two youngest boys came over, and she was a normal mother of little children. I told her before that sent to me, Hannah, your four boys are no accident. God put them here for such a time as this. They're made for this. Y'all love them. Y'all rear them. Y'all teach them. Brother Woodward read this on his radio program yesterday morning. It was sent to him by his son-in-law, Austin Marriott. My wife texted in and said, that's exactly what my husband told our daughter on Thursday night. Be strong. Come on, dads, you can do it. Be strong. Come on, moms, be strong. Be strong in the Lord, not in the power of your own strength. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Embrace His love. You're greatly beloved. Your children are greatly beloved of God. Don't fear. Fear has torment. Understand there's more than meets the eye going on in this world. But God knows exactly who your children are, where they live, and He has a plan for their life. Raise them to meet the challenge of the day. Be strong. Be strong. Well, wait, I'm beloved and I'm not to fear. That's kind of the same thing you told me a few minutes ago. Yeah, I know. Let me give you a little extra here. Get on your feet and cinch up your belt buckle and be strong. Yay. Yes. Be strong. Be strong. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll bless our church. I pray that You'll bless the families of our church. I pray for the young couples. I pray for the young dads. I pray for the young mothers. I pray for peace and calmness in their hearts. I pray for perfect love to cast out fear. I pray You'll help them to be strong. Yea, be strong. Be strong. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't do this often, but I just sense that this is the right thing to do tonight. I want to invite any young couple. It doesn't have to be young. Moms and dads, couples with children at home. I want to invite you to come as husband and wife. and kneel here at this altar. And let's have special prayers at church for these young families to be strong. So without any music, without any playing, any dad, any mom, any couple would like to come, I invite you to come right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Get with your wife, get with your husband. If you're here tonight without your spouse, kneel by yourself. My Father, if I could talk to you just for a few minutes on behalf of these families. Several of us in this room, our children are grown. They're married. With these kneeling before us, still have children at home. In some cases, very young children, very small and tender children. In some cases, teenagers, parents of teenagers. I pray for them tonight. I ask the people in the pew to pray with me in their heart, oh God, that you'd help these parents to be strong. Be strong. Oh God, if we're dilly-dallying in the things of this world that amount to nothing, help us to make changes. Help us to be strong in the power of your might, to be strong in your word, to be strong in prayer. God, I pray that you will melt the hearts of their children, mold so that they can be molded into Daniels and Davids and Esthers and Miriams, Jochebeds. God, please. Help these families to be strong, these parents. Fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your word. Fill them with an anointing and an unction from on high. And may they, Lord, live their days in peace and serenity, embracing your great love that casts out fear. I beg that for them tonight. Help them. Help them, I pray, to be strong, yea, be strong. And that's my prayer, oh God. And I know there are others in the auditorium praying with me. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. And if you want to join anybody left in the pew, you want to come join these praying tonight, now's the time to come. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed while we wait before God tonight. next you plays quietly, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not a great preacher, but I can tell you tonight, I know I delivered the message that God wanted me to give you. I know I did. I'd like to look each one of you men in the eye and just say, be strong. Yay, be strong. Be strong, brother. Be strong. Take your wife by the hand and be strong. Be strong. That was the message to Daniel. Father, may your grace rest upon us, I pray, this week. May it be a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you for the joys and the blessings you've sent our way the past several days, today, in church services, and what we'll receive this week at your gracious hand. And help us, Lord, to look up to heaven and see you where you are and be strong. Yea, be strong. We'll certainly need your help to do that. Give us safety as we go from here and grace as we leave. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.